the planet in the crypt. 0708. Down here in the crypt, the textures are quite tacky. The walls of these small interlinked chambers are coated in dark, slick material, a brownish synthetic leather, while the floors are tiled in scuffed brown plastic. There are very faint odours, stale alcohol, sweat, perhaps urine. Maybe this crypt was once a space for social animals, their rest and recreation, all gone now. The archways between the empty chambers are curved and low. Orange light is provided by a few dusty bulbs recessed into the walls. I haven't logged the exit yet. A condition of hypertension operates here, which makes note-taking difficult. When I was tasked to search for the planet in the crypt, I realized I had zero choice in this dark matter. "You're now a cryptographer," they said playfully. "It will be therapeutic and of scientific importance." I had no access to television at the time, and I'd only been granted brief glimpses of the heavily censored dossier that the Planet Committee had prepared for the Security Department. I do recall faint print, blurred diagrams, cloudy phraseology. The planet had appeared unexpectedly, without warning, in a closed location. It encouraged a certain kind of rhetoric, a measured discourse structured around long sentences and subordinate clauses, which gave the speaker an illusion of control over events, even as they flitted and bumbled against the senses like unpleasant buzzing stag beetles in a hot night of sin. No one understood the planet. Everyone claimed to. Now, I'm going to abandon that measured syntax of the mighty God we serve, the God who miraculously renews our clutch plates and repairs our roof racks, for it's too hot down here. The planet might appear at any moment, hovering at eye level at the intersection of the corridors. Now you see it, now you don't. Now you see it, now you don't. That's my song riffing away at the back of my head like a tired old swing band. If it's too loud, I won't hear the alleged music of the planet, which no one knows how to sing. 0808. I was sprawled on my long leather cushion, dreaming it was a body, the body of a no matter. Not a god body, when I heard the music. Faint at first, dim, mashed, insect noise. Not a chatter, but a chant, as if composed for a devout cryptographer. I started crawling towards the corridor intersection. I was sweating, but I had no choice. I caught a glimpse, vaguely hovering like a floater in the corner of the eye. Opposite the maintenance hatch at the far end, the hatch with the broken handle. A lumpy, reddish spheroid, maybe half a meter in diameter. It was there, emanating. I could feel it emanating against our God. Then it skipped away. The music dwindled to a horrid susurration and died. I couldn't stop retching. 0908. Surely this record is adequate. I have now seen the planet in all its mysterious repellents and logged it. It has materialized as feared, and I have material evidence on my sweaty, vomit-stained uniform. This isn't accurate for my godly minders. After I'd read an edited extract from my log into the tarnished grill of the intercom, I expected congratulations and an announcement that my tour of duty in the crypt was honourably concluded. But no, the security of God demanded a closer encounter. "You wish to receive your daily rations, no doubt," said Hepstall, the fourthly aged transsex who operated on alternate days as God voice and committee mouth worker. "You must devise strategies for destroying the planet before it escapes the crypt. We need an action plan, and then you act it out." Those tiny cubes of soya meat and tubes of distilled water that are left near the hatch every morning have never been addictive, but they are lifestyle essentials down here. Oh, I loathe the ponderous bulk of Hepstall and despise the monotonous drone of the committee prayer rooms. Would even prefer to be up on the surface amid the burning crosses and the rolling waters. But I have to outwit the planet, if it has wit. 10:08. A dream. A brief vision of slim, brown, slippery, whispering in liquid syllables. I am the goddess of sucking. I escaped the rising waters of retribution, but the red planet was hovering, and then turned its crinkly moon face towards me, smiling intimately. And I woke with a nosebleed on the grubby plastic floor. I now intuit that the planet is not a mere mineral assemblage of alien cybernetics, a lump of ferrous metal sustained by magnetic fields. It is a living being, an entity. It is empathic. It surely has an obscure purpose, interfacing with the obscure taboos of our dreams. It has felt its way across light years of interstellar space towards our Earth, invaded our deepest complexes in order to smile. Its ancient, secret smile. Its ancient, secret smile.